For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
So this week is the most important Torah reading of the year, actually, Parshas Zachar. They say if you could only get to shul once a year, you should go for this week, because it's the parsha which there's a mitzvah to destroy evil, or to remember to destroy evil. And Amalek is the nation that represents that. It's not a person. We don't know who Amalek is. But that's the message of the... We read it once a year. And very interesting, we read it before Purim. Haman represented that evil, if you remember. He was a person. One person didn't bow down to him. That was it. We're going to wipe him out. We're going to wipe his people out. We're going to wipe out the men and the women and the children. Just wipe them all out. That was Haman. That was a really evil person that he was. And he was defeated by Esther, of all people. You know, she saved... He was the most powerful person in the world, really. And she saved us. And she actually redeemed her family because she was descended from Shaul HaMelech, King Shaul, who, and we're going to read about right now, unfortunately didn't finish the job. Right. And so his great-great-granddaughter came and fixed it for him, which is just an interesting twist of history. So now we're going to read that story. Shaul HaMelech was a very righteous person. That's why he was chosen as the first king. In fact, he has the number one requirement for a Jewish leader, humility. Which, again, it's shocking. Like you would say, leader, you got to be brave, you got to be smart, you got to... The Jewish leader needs to be humble. Because humility comes from, like Moshe Rabbeinu was the greatest of all time, he was the most humble of all. The Avos. Again, basically, when a person realizes it all comes from God, then he has to be humble. Now, humble doesn't mean that you let people step on you. Moshe and Korach tried to mess with him. Moshe Rabbeinu took care of him. But that's not a contradiction to humility. Humility means that a person... it's a complicated subject, what humility is. But when King Saul was told that he was anointed to be king over Israel, he hid. He said, oh, not me. I don't want that job. You know, I'm not worthy of that. Who am I? I'm from a small tribe, a young tribe. People that don't feel that they're... when people think that they can do everything, then we worry. Because we can only do things with the help of Hashem. And that's really what humility means, is that anything we can accomplish is only when God helps us. So we're going to read about Shaul. Shaul was the first king. He was anointed by Shmuel, and Shmuel rooted for him, so to speak. He was his religious leader. He was the one that had chosen him. He picked him. He was the perfect candidate. And let's see what happened. Now, we are not obligated to defeat Amalek until the country had a leadership and had a king. So Shaul being the first king, so now that he was king, he was given the news that he had the job to try to defeat Amalek. V'yomer Shmuel El, begins over here, page 1214. V'yomer Shmuel El Shaul. So Shmuel came to Shaul. Osi shalach Hashem l'mashka l'melech alamo. You were commanded, you were anointed, you're the Mashiach, which we talked about that, why Jewish leaders are anointed, what it means with the oil, you were Mashka, means you were anointed. It's a whole symbolism, but it means that it's not just that you're a person, but that you were made holy, you were given the ability to fulfill this role. And for what? Al Amo, on Hashem's people, Al Yisrael. And now listen, the Kol Divrei Hashem, listen to Hashem's voice. It's interesting, it says listen to the voice of Hashem. It doesn't listen to the command, listen to the voice. Listen to what Hashem is saying. Verse 2, Ko Amar Hashem Sfakos. This is what Hashem in charge of the multitudes. We talk about this. Hashem, we believe that Hashem relates to every little creature, so to speak. In other words, I always get this sense when you go to New York City and you look around and there's just like people coming out of everywhere. They're just like, you know, and you're just one of them. Hashem is the Hashem of every single person. In other words, even though there's so many people out there, he's the, Tzvakos means like of the armies, of the multitudes, the millions and billions. And Hashem cares about each and every person and loves each and every person. And he's the specific Hashem for that person. And sometimes in war, you know, especially when there's going to be casualty, you might think that Hashem isn't thinking about them. Over here, Hashem thought about this. Now, where people go wrong and they say, well, Saul was commanded to wipe out the Amalekim, so we're commanded to wipe out, you know, it's not so. This was a very, God is our creator. He created us and he created Saul, and there was a specific time where he was commanded to kill men, women, and children. It doesn't mean that people were butchers, and it doesn't mean that this could ever be repeated. That's the problem. People take a verse and they say, oh, you see, the enemies of God have to be destroyed, men, women. No, that's not what happened over here. They're very specific. There was this nation of Amalek, and in most cases we would say, if the adults sinned, what did the children do? But that's not. But over here, Hashem said this was our particular command, was to try to defeat this nation. So Hashem said, go, pakadati es asher asa Amalek liYisrael. Hashem says, I remember what Amalek did to the Jewish people, asher samlo baderech. You can imagine, we were slaves for over 200 years, and it was a brutal slavery. It was, you know, babies were thrown into the bricks, and people were tortured and beaten and whipped, and it was just really, the reason that Egypt got punished with the plagues and everything was because of what they did to us. They gave us back-breaking labor, and we finally got out. And you can imagine how happy we were, how excited, how thankful. What happens? Amalek goes to attack. Isn't that disgusting? You know, when you think about it, like, you know, here a person was enslaved, and I hate to say it, but that's what happened to the concentration camp survivors when they got back to Poland. They survived the concentration camps and they went home. Poland attacked them. They kept it quiet because they wanted to blame it on the communists, and that, but it's true. They did, and that's why Jews didn't stay in Poland. But that's an awful thing when you think about it. A person finally overcomes what they, you know, slavery and murder and torture, and they get out, and then you go and attack them. That's part of it. The other part of it is, Hashem said that he had a special mission for the Jewish people. He took us out of Egypt to do this, and Amalek was really fighting against Hashem. He didn't like the idea that there was a force in the world of morality. Many could go into the subject of what Amalek was and what he stood for, but the basic, we'll just stick with the important thing that, you know, because somebody didn't bow down to him, he wanted to butcher men, women, and a whole nation. He said it was beneath his dignity just to attack Mordechai. He was going to take out everybody, and that was really Haman. Haman was really a... So Hashem said, now is the time, now is the mitzvah. Very interesting concept. We are given mitzvahs that are not easy for us, believe it or not. And believe it or not, life isn't easy. You know, they don't tell that to you when you're young. You think everything's going to be easy. They don't tell you. But there's a concept. Abraham was a very kind and loving person. How was he tested? You know, go take your son, your only child, and go kill him, you know. Go take your other child and send him out, you know. People are tested with what they find difficult. Yaakov was a very truthful and honest person. What does his mother do? I want you to fool your father. Right? Guess who you've got, what kind of family you're going to marry into? Your father-in-law is the biggest cheat in the world, you know. That's the Hashem tests people with things they find difficult. Life isn't meant to... those attributes to us that we are we have, sometimes we're tested in them. If a person has a temper, sometimes they'll stub their toe. You know, they're going to hit. So Saul was very merciful and kind, and he was tested and by being told, you know, you've got to wipe these people out, and we're going to see that he couldn't bring himself to do it all. He couldn't. He was too kind. And very interestingly, and I think I might have mentioned this, there later on, when Saul, in his old age, he started getting a little paranoid and he started being afraid of people, and he was worried that someone was going to take away his throne, and David HaMelech ran away, and he stopped by the priest to get some food. So Shaul became convinced that the priests were helping, the Kohanim were helping his enemy, which was David. They didn't even know David was his enemy. They thought he was his son-in-law. And he wiped out the priests. He wiped out the city of priests. So basically he had this quality of mercy, which was meant to be used over here for the Kohanim, and he used it up on the Amalekim, on the... Sometimes we have to think like that, that we're meant to be merciful people. You can't use your mercy up on the mass murderers, you know, and be, you know, that guy who, you know, who's in the electric chair or whatever. We were given a certain amount of energy and a certain amount of, you know, if you're going to hug the whale, why not hug a person? You know, why don't you, instead of hugging a tree, use that mercy, use that love in the best way possible. And so Shaul used his mercy for the butchers, for the Amalekim, and when he needed the mercy for his own people, for the Kohanim, he didn't have it. Because the person has only so much in the... But anyway, we're getting ahead of ourselves. So Hashem said to him, go take care of Amalek. Verse 3, Atalek v'kisa Amalek v'kramptim eskol eshelo. That's why, by the way, when Mordechai commanded the people to defeat Haman, he said, don't take the booty. Also for that reason. I mean, why not? You know, since when are we against taking booty? Why, you know, if you're going to go to the trouble of defeating them, so it would be a waste not to take all that good stuff. So that's also part of the lesson. We Jews don't like to waste things. You know, we hate to see, you know, there's a mitzvah in the Torah not to waste things. So we hate to see all that good stuff go to waste. That also Shaul HaMelech had trouble with. In other words, they had such nice cows, you know. It'd be such a shame to throw them away, right? That's the you see that sometimes some of us have that where there are things that we just can't bring ourselves to throw them away. That was in King Saul. But he said, "Go bechramtem, mechramtem." He says destroy, but it means not to benefit from it. You know, we don't want to have anything to do with Amalek or any of his possessions, and therefore on Purim also, when they destroyed Haman, they didn't benefit from him or his possessions. Velo sam, don't take pity. V'matem isha ad isha, and he's even warned: don't let the men go, don't let the women go. Ma'ola, don't let the babies go. Mishor v'adseh, don't let the animal, the chamor v'ad. You can't get more clear than in verse 3. He can't say that he didn't know. Verse 4. V'yishma Shaul es am. So Shaul, they didn't have a standing army. He got together an army. Jews we don't count people, if you'll know. You never point to a person and say 1, 2, 3. Because first of all, each person is unique. Jews are never just a number. Not Jews, anybody. People are just not a number. 1, 2, 3. We don't count. The way he counted was he gave everybody a sheep. And everybody took one sheep and put it in the pen, and that's how they counted the soldiers. That's what it means, he counted them with sheep. Me'asayim Aleph, and they had 200,000. Baseras Alafim es Ish Yehuda. These were just the Yehuda were the strong warriors. It's always been that way. That tribe, Yehuda, was like, he was compared to a lion. You need soldiers like that that are not afraid, that are willing to just lead the way. That was Yehuda. That's why Yehuda's counted separate. It was like the legion of Yehuda. Verse 5, Yavushal Adi, he went to the city where Yorv Benacho. And it says that he went to battle in the valley. So it's a strange thing here, why it says he went to battle in the valley. So the Gemara says an interesting thing. There's a mitzvah in the valley that kings have, and that is that if anybody were to die, and this is amazing, in our society, we didn't have murderers. It really was a rare occasion that somebody would be murdered in a Jewish town. If somebody they find is killed, then the entire leadership is required to go out to a valley outside the city and do what's called the Egla Rufa ceremony, which basically they have to make sure that they've investigated and made sure their city is safe and that the person who died wasn't because they didn't take care of him. They have to make sure that he wasn't sent off without food, and they have to make sure that the places are well lit, and they have to make sure that people aren't taking advantage of wayfarers. And the elders are required to declare in front of Hashem that they weren't guilty, that our hands didn't spill this blood. So Gemara says, you think they spilled it? Of course not. These were sages. But they're responsible for the safety. The number one priority is that people should not be harmed. So Shaul, who was a leader, was thinking about this. Think about that. This is just one person is killed, and the whole country has to stop and do this Egla Rufa ceremony, because Hashem cares so much about the life of one person. Life, human life is so incredible. So if that's true, how can we kill every one of these Amalekim? There must be some way to let some of them go. That's unfortunately, that's what was going on in his mind. We can't wipe them all out. Maybe the kids, maybe this. He's going back and forth. So that's what they say. That's what this term over here. He's fighting in the valley. He's thinking about the mitzvah of the valley. That's one thing. The next thing is collateral damage. A person has to be careful. You might have to kill a Molech, but you have to be careful not to kill people that don't deserve to be killed. And that the state of Israel today, when they go to war, they announce before they're going to bomb. You have to be careful not to harm anybody that doesn't deserve it. There's another thing also, and that is we show gratitude. The people who were there were related to Moshe Rabbeinu's father-in-law. They were from Yisro. And so since they were descendants of Yisro, so we got to make sure, we got to take care of them. So he sends him a message. V'yomo shalo akeni, he says, I'll give you good advice. This is going to be a war zone soon. L'chu v'soro redu metocha, you better move out of the way. Ben asva ima, once a battle starts, you never know who's going to be in the middle of it. So a good idea would be, pack out of atas. And he says, I'm doing this, you should know, because you did kindness with the Jewish people when we came out of Egypt. Yosu keni mitocha ma. They understood the message and they moved out of the way. Verse 7, V'yak Shaul Sama. Shaul went and he went, led the battle, and he defeated Amalek. But as we turn to 12:15, Ashur out of Pnei Mitzrayim. V'yishvish Agog Melech Amalek Chai. And he spared the king. He took the king. Now, it's not clear if he intended to make a ceremony. It's not clear if the... it could be this was like a royal thing. It's like, he's a royal, I'm a royal, maybe I'll pardon him. Very strange. Like, you would say, like, the way we look at it, for sure you kill him. Certainly the king. But Shaul didn't... it's a more difficult thing to think why he spared Agag. Why, of all things... there is a concept, there is a tradition that Pharaoh didn't die, by the way. It's an interesting medrash, that Hashem left him alive to teach everybody else what happened, that there might be people who didn't remember, who would deny. And so Hashem left Pharaoh alive so that everybody could see what... There's a medrash like that. So maybe he thought he would put him, let everybody see what Moloch was. We don't know. You could just guess. But somehow he left Agag alone. He left him alive. Veskola'am, but he wiped out the people. V'yachmol, verse 10, unfortunately, he took pity va'am on Agag. Valmeta batzon. And all that really nice sheep, all that really good sheep, Habakkuk. Now, when we do something wrong, there's another thing that happens, is that in order to justify our wrong, we say, I'll bring a nice offering with that sheep. if I do this, people when they, I used to have a brother-in-law who was a rabbi for a brief time in Atlantic City. And before they would gamble, they would go to, they go to Minyan. They figure, if I win money, I'll give a lot to charity. Just tell God, that's Las Vegas also, they have synagogues. They have, sometimes they go after they lose everything. Then they say, if you'll get me out of this. But people, they're thinking, we saved all these good sheep. It's really okay. Why? Because we'll use some for a good purpose. We'll use some as offerings. That's what you can hear justification, that's what people do when they don't do what they're supposed to. They start giving you excuses. So he was supposed to wipe them out. He's thinking, it's such a shame. They look so nice. The people don't really want to do it. So Now we can bring nice offerings with them. that's like the next step. You find really good excuses. So that's what he said. Part of the problem also, and you'll see this over here, is that he listened to the people. A leader has to be able to lead the people, not to listen to the people. When they, and the word "am" also doesn't mean the higher echelons of the people. What happened? A few things is some of the Amalekim hid out in the animals. They did a certain kind of witchcraft where they turned themselves into animals, or they hid with the animals, or they hid amongst the animals. And we're going to see that many of them survived because of this. And Agag, when he was in prison, also fathered children. That was Haman's great grandfather. I don't know what the timing is. Is there a few hundred years in between? Yeah, there's several hundred years in between for the, you know, from this and the, because this was at the beginning of the monarchy, and the Purim story is already a few hundred years later. Okay, so this is what happened, and Shaul, what's really interesting and kind of scary is that Shaul was a great, as we said, a great, great person, and he thought he did a good thing. He thought he was going to get rewarded for this. And sometimes you could do a mitzvah, but if you don't do it 100%, you didn't do it. You know, when you're supposed to do something all the way and you don't, if you're listening to God, you got either you listen or you don't. He thought he was going to be rewarded. He thought, look, I did such a big mitzvah. I killed 90%. Isn't that good enough? So the problem is we never know how Hashem judges things. And so, and even though he was a great person, he thought he would get what they call the shkoyach. You know, he thought that when the prophet would come to him, he would say, wow, you did such a great job. He was waiting for that pat on the back, you know. And so Hashem came to Shmuel, who was the Shaul's religious leader, saying, verse 11, again, shocking, Nechamti, I changed my mind. I've changed my mind about this king. In other words, he was supposed to be the dynasty that would lead the Jewish people till Mashiach. He was supposed to be the leader of the Jewish people. Nechamti, I've changed. I've regretted ki himlachti Yeshua lemelech. I think I once spoke about this, that this is the same word as we use for nicham avolim. Nicham avolim doesn't just mean to comfort mourners. It means you help them look at it differently, in a different way. When somebody experienced a loss, life doesn't want to go on. It's just too awful. And so they don't know how they can live the next day because the things are so, they just miss that person. So when you comfort them, you're helping them look at life differently. That's what you're, this word nechamti is, so you're looking at it and you want to help them look at it, and you want to show caring and you want to be able to help them find a way to continue on. And it was until that time they looked at life in one way with this partner, with this beloved one. And now they need to look at life totally different because they don't have that beloved one anymore. But that's what the word comfort actually means. The word nichem, comfort, means to help them look at it in a different way, help them see things in a different way. So that's that word here, nichamti, same word, nacham. Hashem says, I'm looking at it differently. I no longer like this. Until now, Shaul could have been the one, but he blew it. He went away from me, and vestvarei lo hekim. And he doesn't do what I, he doesn't keep my words. That's we always have that litmus test of a Jewish leader. As soon as if we've ever had leaders, if they don't keep the Torah, that's it. They're gone. They're toast. They say that with some of the false messiahs and things. Once they started playing with the Jewish law, they could have been the greatest leader, but you know the leaders have to keep Hashem's word. V'yichar l'shmul. Now, Shmuel was very upset. Listen to this. The whole night, he screamed. He called out. He was so upset, like, you know, because he knew Hashem, so to speak. Sometimes he can get Hashem to change his mind or look at it differently, or maybe, in other words, he was hoping that Hashem would, maybe he could, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem said, okay, I've had it with the Jewish people, they worship the golden calf. So Moshe Rabbeinu called out to Hashem and didn't let Hashem go, so to speak, until he got Hashem. Okay, you know, we'll try something else. So here also, Shmuel tried to get Hashem to change his mind about Shaul, because he's really a good man. He means well. Maybe he made a mistake. We all make mistakes. The whole night he tried, but apparently it didn't work. Right. So Shmuel calls out the whole lot. He's very upset. Verse 12, Yashkim Shmuel likur Shaul. So Shmuel goes to greet Shaul in the morning. And Yuga Lishmuel Lamor Bo Shaul, and they told him he came to Carmel Vine Matsiv Lo Yad. Now, Shaul, again, on some level, he thought he was going to get a reward. He thought he was going to be really, he thought that Shmuel was coming out to greet him. Yavaderka, he went to Gilgal, Vyavu Shmuel, O Shaul, Vyomer Lo Shaul. So listen to Shaul. Shaul says, Baruch atah Hashem, wow, blessed are you to the Almighty. I kept God's word. But the reason that it's important to read this is we all fool ourselves. Sometimes we think that we've, I've done everything right. that's why you have to be careful in life. You know, sometimes we really just fool ourselves, and we think we're taught to examine our deeds, and to, you know, there's certain times of the year where we look and see if we've made mistakes and we could do something better. Because even great people sometimes they think they're perfect. You know, they think they did everything right. And he said, "Oh, look, Baruch Atah Hashem, Akimosi Yisrael, I kept all the words of God." So verse 14. So Yomer Shmuel Umeh. It's interesting. This has a trup on it. It reads like the noise that sheep make. Meh. You know. He's talking about how he listened to God's command. And it's like, you know, what's that noise I hear out there? The sheep are making. He was supposed to wipe out all the sheep and not benefit. And he says, I kept the word of Hashem. And as he's saying that, meh, you know, you hear the sheep, meh. So he says, what's that noise I hear? Meh, call out some. Now, by the way, that's a nice way to break it to a person. If you tell a person you're good for nothing, you're a liar, you don't even know that you've done the wrong things, he's not going to pay any attention to you. But he says, okay, you did it well, that's nice. What's that sound that I hear? What are those sheep saying over there? And it's in my ears. And what about all those flocks? Asher Anochi Shomea. So when you... by the way, in Chumash, Rabbi Feldman's father wrote a book about biblical questions. Mm-hmm. That often when Hashem comes to a question, if instead of making a statement to a person, if you ask a question, that makes him more open. Because then he has to think to answer you. If you just tell him, you've done wrong, you know, what's the sheep that I hear? Okay, you know, that I have to answer that. Let me think, you know. So what does Shaul say? Oh, he says, those are Amaleki sheep, and it's not my fault. Asher chama. So this is also... historically, this is when a person starts blaming other people, he blew it. You never blame other people. Take responsibility. Oh, whose fault is that? It's the fault of the people. That's their fault. We understand that the very original sin of Adam was that he blamed Chava. He blamed his wife, which... Unfortunately, men do that. They blame other people. It's the human condition to blame someone else. But that's not leadership. That's not leadership to say it's someone else's fault. Whose fault is it? He's the leader, and he's the king. He says, the sheep, that's not my fault. That's not my problem. No, some of the people did that. So, and you know, they saved the really good stuff. And you know what? They had a good reason for it. Laman, they were going to bring offerings to the Almighty. Doesn't that sound nice? But they got rid of all the rest. So, 17. So again, it's very interesting. Shmuel knew how to break it to him. V'yomer Shmuel el Shaul. And Shmuel said to Shaul, Herif, he says, I got to have news for you. Are you ready? Are you psych yourself up to hear this? Meaning, I got to tell you something. Are you sure you're ready? And that sometimes if a person knows that he's got to be calm when he hear, if you hear something on the run, sometimes a person can react in not a good way. You say, are you ready? You know, like this, you got to hear what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you the Dibur Hashem. Dibur is like the strong words. God told me something at night. So Shaul said, V'yomer lo Dabir, go ahead, speak. Now, by the way, David HaMelech also blew it a few times. In some ways, what David HaMelech did might be construed to be worse than what Shaul did. But when the prophet came to him and said, you've done something wrong, David had the power to say, you're right, I've sinned. And that's the real ultimate greatness in a leader is not that you don't make a mistake. He's a human. Humans make mistakes. We all got to get used to that. We're all humans. We all make the same mistakes. But the ability to admit one's mistakes, that's real greatness. And because Shaul didn't see his mistakes, according to many people, that's why he wasn't given another chance. V'yomer Shmuel, and this is what Shmuel says to him, Lomi kat nata b'necha, you want to be small in your eyes, it's not the time for humility. Rosh Shifte Yisrael, you're the head of the Jewish people. V'yimshah, you're the Mashiach, to be the king of Israel. Number and also 18, V'yishalchan, you were sent on this mission. V'yomer leich, and God said to you, Ekramtis achatoim es amolek, kill these wicked people, amolek, and fight a war, and do it until you're finished. 19, Ulama lo shamatim b'kol Hashem. Why didn't you listen to the voice of Hashem? V'tata lo shalal, you paid attention to the booty. V'tasa rabbe ne Hashem. And because you did that, you did evil in Hashem's eyes. So, here it is. I told you. I always get a kashrus call in the middle of my... When I'm eating lunch, usually I don't get it. It's always when I'm giving my Monday class. It's from a different person each time, too. It's something goes wrong somewhere else, but it's fine. So he says, why did you do evil? So now Shaul, by the way, still wants to try to convince Shmuel and God that he did nothing wrong. Don't try to argue with Hashem when he tells you, when a prophet from God tells you you did something wrong, you got to say, I guess I goofed. Sometimes when people are in denial, they keep up the denial. They still deny. It's not like so he tries it again. He says, no. Asher Shemati, I listened to Hashem. And I did everything I was supposed to. Vavi, and I brought Agag here, Vesamolek, and I destroyed most of Amolek. Verse 21, the people did it, not me. So Shaul tries again to convince Shmuel that he's really okay. He really didn't do anything wrong. Not a good idea. Listen to these words. Really, these words like ring in your ears. I can't explain it to you. You know, it's like it just makes an impression. If words sometimes when they go into your ears a certain way, you can have a pusik and nuffy that just like is like a guidepost for you. But this is what he says. It's a few verses here. He says like this: Hachavetz Hashem ba'olus hazvachim. Do you think Hashem wants offerings kishmoil like he wants you to listen to his voice? You know, Shaul was insistent. Well, look, I brought all these nice korbanos. It's going to bring such a good offering. Do you think Hashem, the concept of doing the mitzvahs is to listening to the voice of Hashem? Hinei Shemoya, listening is better than all the fat offerings from the biggest rams. Kichatos 23, Kesem Meri V'Oven Trafim Haser. Sin is a terrible thing when you rebel against Hashem. Yan Mastas Tvar Hashem. If you don't listen to the words of Hashem, V'Maskem Imelach. Hashem has decided you have rejected Hashem's words, so Hashem has rejected you as the king. So now he finally gets it. It's good, he finally got it. So he says, Chatasi, you're right, I've sinned. Ki Yavarti es pi Hashem, Vestvori, Ki Yeresi es Am. Somehow he sees it now, and he says the truth. Before he was saying it was their fault, now he's finally admitting, you know, I guess it was my fault. I feared the people. I was afraid. Ve'eshma b'kolam, I listened to their voice, not to the voice of God. So now he tries strategy B. Okay, I sinned. God has a lot of patience. When you sin, he can forgive you. So please, do me a favor. Forgive my sin and go back to me with the people. And what's interesting is that Shaul already, he's so frail, he needs Shmuel to go back with him for appearance sake. Isn't that like once a person sins and they lose the backing, you know, he was so courageous before, he led the battle in war. Now all of a sudden he's facing the people, he's afraid to go back without the religious leader next to him. Do me a favor, he says, please just come and bow down. I'm not going back with you. You rejected the word of God. And Hashem rejected you. And Shmuel turns away, leches. And, you know, Shaul was the king. He wasn't used to people not listening to him. So he grabs Shmuel, and he tears his cloak. Kara Hashem, you tore the cloak. That's symbolic, because Hashem is tearing away. Tearing means it was painful. He tore away from you, es mamachis Yisrael. Me'alecha. Hayom, he took it away from you. Nasai l'reicha tovi mecha. And he'll give it to your fellow man who's better than you. This would eat away at Shaul that there was somebody better than him who was going to be David. This was the first news that he had that there was, and David was better than him in that he was able to, when he had a problem, he was able to fix it. This is the verse, actually, by the way, that always rings in my ears. The other verse too, but he says, "V'gam netzach Yisrael, the eternity of Israel lo yishaker, will never be false." And in other words, the leadership, the people that lead the Jewish people, they have to do the right thing. And if they don't do the right thing, I can't go back with you. Netzach Yisrael. The Netzach means the future of the Jewish people. It's not false. Below Yenochem, and it can't be changed. Hashem is not a person that he changes his mind. If you've shown that you don't have that leadership quality, that's it. The Yomer, so he tries again, Chatosi. You know, I guess I really have blown it. He gets it. I shouldn't laugh. I'm not laughing. It's very sad. But I'm just saying, like, it's just human nature. Like, you know, we want a very quick, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I goofed. Okay, forgive me now. Sometimes that alone doesn't totally fix it. So, in other words, you have to say you're sorry at the right time, and you have to really mean it. But when you say you're sorry after the consequences, you're sorry that you face the consequences. You're not always sorry that you did the wrong thing. And that's kind of what happens here. And again, he says to, oh, please, show me respect with the people. Again, that's a v'nagad Yisrael, v'shuvim, v'shtachav el Hashem, and we'll bow down to Hashem. Verse 31, and Shol bowed down to Hashem. He kind of met him halfway, so to speak, or he stayed near him. So now Shmuel had work to do, because there is a mitzvah to destroy Amalek. So he said, bring me Agag, Melech Amalek, the king of Amalek. They brought Agag there. Now it's not clear if Agag thought things would be good or he knew that things were bad. Some people say that when you meet a sage, there's like such a sweetness. I don't know if you've ever met a few sages out there, and they just radiate so much love that it's like if you've ever met a bona fide sage, they're just there's like a sweetness that you just there are righteous men and women too, but you meet like a tzaddik or a tzaddikus or somebody very righteous, they radiate love. There's just like a warmth that's there, and I wish you could bottle that or have that, you know, that warmth that certain people exude. So he says, so maybe Agag said, wow, this person is so kind and so loving. He said, oh, now things will be good. But unfortunately, Hashem commanded us to, Shaul was commanded to wipe him out. So v'yomar Shmuel kasher shikalti. Now Shmuel wanted people to understand. In other words, they're people. Oh, how could you do this? How could you kill the old king? And he was supposed to be spared, and you're supposed to be chivalry and everything. So he spells it like it was. Amalek, they used to attack women. They used to attack, use the sword on innocents. We have in the Torah that they attack the stragglers. They attack the handicapped people and the old people that were walking behind the camp. You know, the people, when they get older, they're not as quick as the youngins, you know, they take a little longer. And so those were the ones who he attacked. And that's like despicable. Like, you know, you go with the army, at least fight soldiers. But no, not Amalek. Amalek, they enjoyed butchering, you know, the helpless. That was Amalek. And so Shmuel says to him, just like you guys used to butcher the women and the helpless women and the weak people. So also now your mother is going to be missing somebody. Vishav Shmuel as Agag, and Shmuel killed him in front of Hashem in Gilgal. Just like, almost like an offering. He understood what the will of Hashem was. Vayelik Shmuel haramasa. Shmuel went back to his place in Ramah. Vishal ola albeso. And Shaul went home. And that's the story. Which, again, historically, it was Shaul's descendant Esther who helped the Jewish people defeat the Amalek that was left over, which was Haman. And unfortunately, there's still some Amalek today. They didn't get all of them. And so ultimately, we have to fight against evil. There's nobody, we don't kill anybody today. We don't know who that is. But there's a lot of work to do when wherever evil exists, we're reminded in this parsha of Zohar to destroy evil and not allow it to be there. If there had been people that had stood up to Hitler and people that had stood up to evil when it could have been contained, then just think how many lives would be saved and how many people would be spared. And so people have to have that in mind, you know, that there is this mitzvah of remembering what Amalek did.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.